How about that? 7:13 on a Saturday morning, 74 degrees, mostly cloudy skies. Going to be another muggy day today, and so we hope you'll stay cool, unless you're inside WCCO Studios where it's 40 below zero. Dan Burns is here. Good morning, Dan.
I've been so hot all week, I'm comfortable with it.
I know. So, yeah. Well, we're all wearing sweaters in here. Yeah. Nice to see you. Well,
good to see you.
Yeah,
it's been a while.
Yeah, it has. And Danny said, you know, he's going out of town, and Lindsay Peterson said, hey, you want to do Saturday morning? I'm like, yeah, I'll do Saturday morning.
Do I have to get up early?
Yeah. You know me. You mentioned my footwear this morning for our radio listeners. What am I wearing on my feet?
Yeah, lack of footwear.
I'm barefoot this
No wonder
morning.
You're cold. You should have some socks on.
I should put some socks on.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to talk cars, and I know a lot of folks like to call in with questions about their cars, so we'll just say the phone number right out of the gates. That it is, as I remember it, 989-9226, and they can call 651-989-9226, and our good friend Dennis, who won't go on the air with me, is going to answer your phone calls as they come in. But we thought we'd get started talking a little bit, Dan, about electric cars. They're out there. And I walked by a Tesla the other day in the parking lot, and I looked for the gas gauge, and I couldn't find it. And then I looked all around to try to see, how does this car get powered? Is there like a plug I'm not seeing? So I wondered about that, and cars in general that are run on electricity.
Yeah. You know, they are run on electricity. There is no gas tank. And there's a whole bunch of different variations of electric type cars. Some of them do still have internal combustion gas engines that supplement the electricity. And some, like Tesla, have gone all electric. Volvo announced this year that they're coming out, I think next year, with an all-electric car. In fact, maybe their whole fleet is going all-electric.
Wow.
Yeah, I think their whole fleet is going all-electric, which is going to be great, especially in the European big cities that have not done as good a job as we have with the pollution factor.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to help a lot. But at any rate, no, Tesla has kind of ran with that ball.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
And they have charging stations all along the interstate. And the, you know, my thought always was, well, I don't want to have to stop for an hour while my car recharges.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess the express charge on them is 8 minutes.
Oh.
And so that's not very long.
No.
And there's plenty of the charging stations along the interstates now that they have access. So, you know, if you'd have asked me 2 years ago, what do you think? I said, well, it's a great idea, but I'm not sure that it's going to stick.
Mm-hmm.
But to tell you the truth, I think it's going to stick.
Yeah.
I've changed my tune, and I happen to work on a Honda this week that's a hybrid. It's both gas and electric. But as time has gone on, the hybrids have gotten far more electric and far less gas engine. In fact, when this Honda's on the highway driving down the road, all the engine does is recharge the battery.
Oh, as it's going.
Yeah, it's all electric driving down the highway. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
I think they're here to stay. And all of the major lines are coming up with an electric version of a car. So,
the couple questions about that.
Yes.
Number one, the cost. I always think I would love to get an electric car, but I think it costs $400,000.
They are expensive. They are more expensive, and it takes a long time for it to make economic sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think that's why most people do it. I think most people that are interested in it, first of all, like the performance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, the Tesla and an awful lot of the sports cars are going hybrid because an electric motor powering your vehicle is way more responsive than a gas engine. So in other words, if, you know, back in the day we used to have gas engines with turbochargers and superchargers, now they have a gas engine with an electric motor attachment. So when you want quick acceleration, the electric motor comes in and its response is immediate.
Wow.
So they're little rocket ships with these electric motor power generators. So
I drove a Chevy Volt one time.
Yeah.
And that was kind of cool. Now that's a hybrid?
Yeah, no, that's an all-electric car.
All-electric car.
Yeah.
And I was going to say that I felt like I was almost in one of those rides like a tram because it's so quiet.
Right. Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
Right. It's
fun.
It takes some getting used
to.
That's for sure. And, you know, you plug it in at night when you're home, and for most people, that's just fine. That, you know, lasts the day or two or three or a week.
Cool.
I think they're here to stay.
And I don't think the Volt is that much money. I mean, relatively speaking.
Compared to its gas engine counterpart, it is more expensive. Mm-hmm. But again, I think it's more about the environment and the performance that people are after. Not quite as much about the return on gas money is a long time.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's for sure. But it will get there. I mean, over the life of the car, it'll be cheaper to operate if you choose to keep the car that long.
So we're transitioning right now.
Yeah.
And we got a call from John in Minneapolis who had a question for you, Dan. He wants to know about how the battery holds up in the long, cold winter months for electric cars.
You know, that's another thing that I've noticed. You know, the hybrid engines and cars have been around for a long time, and way more than a decade. Mm. And I have found them to be, we've done very little work on the electric portion of those cars and those engines. We've replaced some batteries, mm-hmm. and that's a big, expensive, complicated process. But we've replaced them at 200,000 miles or something mm-hmm. like that. So, mm-hmm. The cars are still good, and it's a good investment. It makes sense to replace the batteries and do it when it's time. But generally speaking, the cars are very reliable and very dependable. The electric portion of it, I think, was incredibly engineered before they kicked it off. So,
all right, you are listening to WCCO Radio on this Saturday morning. It's 7:20. I'm Susie Jones in this morning for Denny Long and our guest, Dan Burns, Car Talk of Lloyd's Automotive. If you have a question, it is 651-989-9226. We'll take a quick break and take some of your calls right after this.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It is 7:25, well after midnight or before midnight. Dan Burns, Car Talk from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, and that's one of the locations. How many do you have, Dan?
Just one.
Just one.
Yeah.
I've been there many times.
I tried the multiple location thing for everything, but I'm way too controlling, and I need to touch every car that comes through the shop, and I couldn't do that with more than one location.
Well, I love having you in St. Paul, because whenever I have to do a car story, you know me, I call and come over.
Yeah, we like having you there, too.
Whether it's 40 below and we talk about how your tires can hold up in that cold.
Right.
Kind of hard to think about now.
Right.
We have a bunch of calls, but I wanted to ask real quick, working on the electric car, does that propose a challenge to your mechanics? Do they have to sort of get more and more training to do that?
Yeah, well, but like any, you know, every new model year requires new training, and every new feature on cars requires training. So that's just part of the job. It's like, you know, a doctor, as new technology and new equipment comes out, you need to learn about it. And I think that's what makes a job interesting.
Yeah.
I would not want to keep doing the same thing with the same equipment and the same story. That would get kind of boring.
Well, good to know.
The new stuff is exciting, and we like it. So
good. That's
good about the business.
Well, we've got a bank of phone calls, so let's get started.
Right.
Let's start with Jerry in Stillwater. Good morning, Jerry. You're on the air.
Yeah, see, I'd just like to tell you a few facts about I bought two Toyota Priuses. One is a 2004, and the other one is a 2007. And before I bought them, I asked questions about the hybrid battery. And I called the Maplewood Toyota, the largest Toyota dealer in the state of Minnesota, and two other dealers. And then I called a central place in the United States, Toyota. And they started making Toyota Priuses in 96 or 98 in Japan, and they have never replaced a battery, a hybrid battery, for wear, only for accidents.
Oh, really? Well, we have. Yeah, we get them in, you know, maybe half a dozen or so that have come in. And there's actually it comes in with a trouble code, actually. The mm-hmm. car has done a self-diagnostic and it has failed. And then you go through a test procedure, and if it fails. But, yeah, we've done maybe a half a dozen of them or something like that.
Okay. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 651-989-9226 if you want to jump in here and ask Dan a question. We'll go to Vinny next. Vinny's in Coon Rapids. How are you this morning, Vinny?
Good morning. I was wondering if overinflated tires will have the outer tie rod ends wear out quicker.
No. Well, maybe theoretically they could, but not practically. I mean,
okay. Good.
You can't inflate a tire. You can't overinflate a tire enough to make it that hard. And so,
okay.
You know.
All right. Good. And then I got one other quick question. Mm. Do you know when the new Teslas are coming out? The ones that people had to pre-order a long time ago.
You know, I don't know exactly, but the I know the SUV is available now, and I think the I forget if it's what the model is exactly, but it's the smaller, more economical version, and I think those are perhaps ready right now too. But at any rate, if not right now, it'll be very soon.
Very good, and we'll go. Let's see, it's 28-29 minutes past 7 o'clock. Should we break or take this last call?
Take the last call.
Barb is on the line. Good morning, Barb. How are you?
Good morning.
Nice to have you.
Well, thank you. First time I've called the car line. So,
oh, well, what is it? What's going on with your car?
We have a 2007 Grand Cherokee Jeep. And in the last few, I mean, this has been going off and on for my 4 or 5 years, but lately it's been quite regular. All of a sudden you're driving and it goes down in speed to, you can't accelerate more than 30, 40 miles an hour until you pull over, stop everything, restart the car, and continue going. My son checked and said it's called the limp mode, and apparently Chrysler knows about it, but we have brought it to two different dealers, and they say unless it's doing it, we can't help you. So we're wondering what this is all about.
Well, for a number of reasons, the vehicle will go into that limp mode, and it's kind of a safety thing. So that if for example, if there's a significant misfire on the engine there's a whole bunch of other parameters that'll set the car into that mode. And what it is to protect the car from itself while you slowly get it someplace where you can repair it. And by restarting the car, like what you're doing, you're rebooting all the computers. And in that process, it goes through some self-tests, and then it's happy. And once it's happy, it'll work fine again for a while. And
so
the trick is to figure out why it initially, what test is it failing that's setting it into that limp-in mode.
Okay, because they're not finding anything when they put it on the computer to tell you what it is. They're not finding any codes.
Yeah, well, hopefully it will do it. How often does it do it?
Well, it happened to me yesterday twice.
Oh, and, so it's doing it frequently enough for we. I mean, you know, what we would do is have you bring it in and leave it until we get it tacked up. And if it's doing it every day or every couple of days, we'll just use it on parts runs or whatever and get it to act up.
Okay.
When it's in that mode, then I've got my computer, access to it, then I get the information that I need then I can say, oh, hey, Here's why it went into limpet mode. It found a significant misfire in order to protect the catalytic converter system. It goes into this limp mode. So,
is it dangerous, Dan?
Well, it's
I
not.
I mean, you're on the freeway.
It kind of is. No, it's not. It's not meant to. I mean, it's meant to get you to the side of the road and to get to help, but it's not really meant to drive long term.
No.
But the fact that you're pulling over and restarting it is good news, you know, that. You can again get going again, but...
All right. Well, thanks for the call, Barb. Appreciate it. We're going to take a break now for news, but remember, we've got Dan coming up after the news at 989-9226. You can use 651-989-9226 for your car questions right after this.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
And a good Saturday morning to you. My name is Susie Jones. I'm normally in the newsroom, but today I am in the host chair filling in for Denny Long, and my friend Dan Burns is in studio, Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, and we're talking cars. And I know, Dan, that yesterday it was 94 degrees, and today it's going to be 88, and we could break our record high of 90 that was set back in 1937. So it doesn't particularly feel like winter is coming, but it is.
Yeah, you know, and you can you can winterize your car when it's 90 out also.
Okay. And that's probably better than winterizing it when it's 40 below and you've got a stack of cars that need work.
Well, not only me, that's true for me, or if you want to do some of it yourself.
Okay.
And a lot of people do. Do it before the weather gets nasty.
What do you do? What can I do myself for my car to winterize it?
You can do a lot of the checks. You know, you can the tires and the do a lot of the visual inspection stuff. Make sure your wipers are good. Make sure your washer fluid works. A lot of the safety stuff you can do yourself. Mm-hmm. And you know, a lot of people are still willing and want to do their own oil changes.
That Not sort me.
Of, I know, but. And the cars have gotten so complicated that you need they ride so low now you can't get under them.
Mm-hmm,
but at any rate, people still do, and that's fine. You know, good if do what you can, that's fine. And what you can't, then bring it in, and we'll do the rest for you. But the antifreeze needs to be checked. The battery needs to be checked.
That's probably the biggest one, isn't it? The battery, isn't the battery the hardest in the cold months?
Well, actually, batteries, just as many batteries fail in hot weather as they do in cold weather. But But extreme temperatures are hard on all of the electrical components, battery included. So, yeah, now's, you know, it's a comfortable time, you know, a cool Saturday afternoon, not today, but a cool Saturday afternoon to go through the car and get it all ready for winter. Put all the stuff in it that you're going to need, the window scrapers and all that sort of stuff. So there is stuff to think about.
I forget that all the time. So I'm out there with my credit card scraping my window with no mittens on.
Right, no mittens. And have the proper tools in the car on time and you'll be way more comfortable.
Yeah, and also get that emergency kit. I know that's important to have your safety stuff in your car too.
Yeah, you might not want to put the chocolate bars in there quite yet, but soon. Yeah.
Well, Dan, it is so good to talk to you. I know a lot of people have questions for you. What are some of the common questions you get from people when they have mostly, like you had that gal call about that limp mode? I mean, are there problems that are sort of common that you hear again and again?
Well, you know, it's just like this show, actually. That's the people say, you know, people come into the shop and say, is it hard for you to, you know, do the show and give people that kind of information? But truthfully, the questions that I get at the shop are just the same questions that I get here on the radio. And and mostly what people are looking for is, here's what's going on. What should I do?
Right.
And, you know, I think one of our strong suits is that we're willing to take the time to explain people or to people what's going on and why we're doing it and what needs to be done today, what needs to be saved for the future.
Yeah.
But one thing that I encourage people to do is, like when you go to the doctor's office, don't withhold information from me. It just, 'cause I'll find it anyway.
Right. So if you're smoking a cigarette or you don't floss.
Right. Well, if it's but I'll find it anyway, but it's less expensive for you if you share all the information with me, because then it gets me to the problem quicker.
Right.
And easier. And so they only tell me half the story because they only want me to find half of what's wrong with it to keep them on the road, and then it won't cost as much. That's the theory, and it makes sense, but that's not the way it really goes.
But I always like to say to my mechanic, is it safe if I don't fix it? And what's the order in which I need to fix various things?
Right. That's actually a great question.
Uh-huh.
That's a great question, and it's actually my job to tell you that. Here's what you know. You can't drive it out of the shop today if you have a significantly loose steering part, for example, because that's dangerous. And you're dangerous to you and other people on the road. But there's a whole bunch of things that can be wrong with your car that's safe for today, and it will limp along until you can work some more and make some more money and, you know, come in and get it taken care of. And it's my job to tell you that.
Great. Well, it was wonderful to talk to you this morning.
You too.
Nice to see you. Glad your family's well. And Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul?
Yep, 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul. We just have a new website, Susie. You should check it out at lloydsautomotive.com. lloidsautomotive.net, L-L-O-I-D-S, lloidsautomotive.net, or give us a call. I'll be there this morning, actually, at 651-228-1316.
Wonderful. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
It is Car Talk, Dan Burns, Lloyd Automotive.